You're listening to Kapow, the pop culture podcast.
Oh my God.
Listen up, ragamuffins. We encourage each and every one of you to drink deeply from the cup that is Fair Riverdale.
Your hosts, Jordan, Cliff, and Seth.
Hello. Bride of Hobo. Welcome to Thistle House. Shove it,
Hal. Welcome back to Kapow, the pop cultured podcast. It's Riverdale time. My name is Jordan Lowe.
Cliff Barnes.
Hype. Riverdale.
All right, now let's make some deal.
What are we going to do?
Oh man, been stretching these out. Eventually. Feels like a special occasion when we sit down to do one now.
Yeah, it's like. I mean, that's kind of, let me think of a not sad way to put this. What if your favorite chef cooked your favorite meals and put them in the freezer and then died and you only had 33 meals in there to eat? You thaw one out every once in a while. That's what this is. What dinner is this, Jordan?
I got a quandary.
What?
Uh-oh. Possible quandary.
All right. Dale quandary.
My cable provider, who will go unnamed, has just announced prices are going up again on my next bill, and it's just gotten a little ridiculous. So I've been shopping around trying to figure out where I can go. But do I need to cut the cord? How in the world do I watch baseball? Trying to figure this out all with over 30 episodes still on my DVR of Riverdale. I'm thinking cannot cancel this without watching all 30 of these, can I?
They're on Netflix. Just whatever you do, you're gonna have to include Netflix. That's a lot cheaper than cable.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
How much is a paperclip to jab in the back of my TV?
Oh.
I can only save like 3 episodes on my paperclip. So.
All right. So we are still in season 6, episode 15, chapter 110, Things That Go Bump in the Night.
All right. 110. How many were episodes were there of Riverdale?
One
total.
137 maybe. I'll have to Google that.
Wow. Okay. That's why I asked. Let's see. We don't remember where we left off, and that's fine. Cheryl's pen pal. Was it her pen pal or an old friend?
Her lady. Dean.
Well, she knew her girlfriend. Before. From where?
Camp? From her childhood. I don't know. I don't remember this. Yeah, the specifics of it.
Yeah, good. She shows up. She's been working at the Greendale Public Library.
And now I've been working at the Greendale Public Library for almost 7 years.
How marvelous. And what about your mother?
I'm not sure about my notes. Her mother died?
Oh, not long after we moved to Greendale, she died in a tragic accident.
How gothic. I'm so sorry, Heather.
How gothic.
It's a long time ago now.
I think that's what Cheryl says.
Yeah.
How goth.
Yeah.
And also, Cheryl was hot. I have a note here. Oh.
So, yeah. I believe Heather's mother died shortly after she moved from Riverdale to Greendale. I think is what the deal was. Now Heather has been talked about in quite a few episodes.
Yeah, right.
And we've been waiting on Heather to show up and wondering if Heather would ever show up. So
kind of looks like Betty. Is that her name? Betty Brant that was on Breaking Bad, Hank's wife. She kind of looks like a young Betty Brant. Betsy. I can't think of her name. Look while you're on IMDb looking up how many episodes of Riverdale.
Yeah, there's 100.
J. Jonah Jameson's secretary.
That's what I was thinking. 137 episodes total of Riverdale through seven seasons.
Okay.
The actress is Caroline Day.
Oh, I don't care.
That's her name. And of course she is a, she's playing, well, we'll find out.
But tell me about you, Cheryl. Are you unattached?
I was seeing someone special named Tony. We had a beautiful and nurturing relationship for a time. But we've both gone on to forge different paths. We're friends. Are you seeing anyone?
Every now and then. Nothing serious or long-term. Oh, my goodness. It's almost the witching hour. Better get going or I'll miss the midnight bus.
Okay, anyway, she has an aggressive...
This was Cheryl's, like, first love. Like, they were friends and maybe a little more when they were kids. And the mumsy didn't like that. So, yeah,
she
this
hid,
was
she
lost,
her
lost
letters.
Love for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, don't fear spoiling the whole thing. Heather asks if Cheryl is seeing anyone. Heather has an extremely aggressive hairline. It was just very, really, it's like you barely have any forehead. It's all hairline. Cheryl mentioned TT was in her past. Heather likes to play the field and she needs to hurry or she's going to miss the midnight bus back to Greendale.
We know
Cheryl.
We know what's in Greendale.
Sabrina.
Sabrina.
Okay.
Don't want to be out after dark.
Yeah. Don't like Ray Parker Jr. We're going to make references to in every episode. We're going to make a reference to this conversation we had off air about Ray Parker Jr. being scared of ghosts. So here it is. We're bringing it up. Scared of ghosts. He doesn't stay out after dark. What a twist. Okay.
Wait, Heather, before you leave. You're a librarian. By an odd coincidence, I've had the most cuckoo notion of turning Thornhill into Riverdale's new privately owned library.
How kismet.
Since you're a scholar of the library sciences, would you mind helping me?
Cheryl, of course. Why don't you come back tomorrow?
Cheryl wants to ask this librarian a question because she's been having a cuckoo idea of turning Thornhill into a new privately owned library. How you know what Heather says?
Mm.
How kismet. How kismet. It's not an expression. Pops, Tabitha Tate, not TT. Another twist, is back. She couldn't get Pops declared a historical landmark. She's got a new idea.
Mm.
At the FBI, Betty says her mom let her dad's evil flourish. And she even helped him bury a body, which rotted under their family dining room table for decades. You know, we know all this.
Who could forget?
That's the Cooper's apple pie served over an unmarked grave. Whoever this lady is that she's telling this to, whenever she's in, like, every episode that she get, we go to the FBI or whatever, it's some new person every time. There's some new person for the episode.
Are you referring to Agent Gillian Drake?
Agent Drake.
Agent
the most
Gillian
important
Drake.
Character in the show.
We just didn't know the name yet.
And your father was groomed by his mother to kill, wasn't he?
My disturbing inheritance.
Your father was groomed to kill by his mother. And she's like, yeah, that's my inheritance. The agent suggests that she moved out of that weird house and she should move in with her boyfriend or girlfriend.
Just feeling that
house
out.
House Affleck, yeah.
Agent Cooper. Betty. You survived 18 years of trauma in that house. And you need to move out of it ASAP.
Is there a place you can go to? A boyfriend's house or her girlfriend's?
Agent Drake, Jillian
Drake. What a good agent. She's investigating every angle.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, thank you for the impromptu therapy session, Agent Drake. I'm glad you requested a transfer to help with TBK.
Well, of course. And it's Jillian or just Drake, if you
prefer. At the Andrews abode, Archie is about to walk some weird dog. Who's this dog? It's a weird dog. That's not a dog I recognized. It wasn't.
It's not Bingo.
Vegas.
Right?
I don't. It must have been Bingo.
It must have been Bingo. Yeah, it's not Vegas.
Yeah, it's Bingo, but I didn't recognize. I didn't know Bingo, I guess. I still miss Vegas. Betty arrives. There's a portrait in, you know, like in gauche of the Roadster. I thought that was kind of neat. You know, they got some art on the wall of the jalopy. That's what it was.
Yeah, the jalopy.
She has to move in. And Archie, who I put is looking particularly Ronald McDonald. It's a really very red hair. He said he and Bingo are totally cool with it. So
he didn't hesitate.
Bingo.
Yeah, he didn't give bark. It a thought. He's like, sure. You don't live here already? Oh.
Exactly. At Fangs and TT's home, Jennifer, the social worker, maybe is there to help because Kevin is still filing for custody and they've got some problems. The bank says, you know, that they're gangbangers, I guess, you know, so they can't give them a loan or let them have custody. Tony points out that she is a guidance counselor, you know, which that's kind of, you know, I am a guidance counselor. I'm also Baby Anthony's mother. But Fangs does work out, you know, he's at a bar. He works at a bar. And so it's not a slam dunk. The judges are sketchy. So we'll see. At the Andrews, Tabitha suggests dismantling the diner brick by brick and putting it into storage until she can find land to put it on that won't fall under Percival's eminent domain. How clever. Let's just move the actual Pops diner. Archie says,
but we've learned
hell
Pops, Pops is supposed to be the site of like the final apocalyptic battle.
Right.
And they're just ready to move it. I don't know if that could ever work.
Archie says, hell yeah, let me get a crew together. Immediately, he's on board for any idea that comes in.
He just agrees. Such an agreeable.
He's like, Bingo and I say, hell yeah. Let's me and Bingo move that brick by brick. And she's like, well, hurry up because he's going to be bulldozing in a few days. And Archie says, and I got the screenshot I've been waiting to use.
Yeah, well, he sucks.
Says, yeah, well, he sucks. I love it. Nobody says it like, yeah. Hey, Jughead is having comic book writer's block. Ever heard of that?
Nope.
And he's shooting a rubber band finger gun around his office when he's invited to talk to Veronica by text to go to the casino. Veronica suggests that since Jughead can read minds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And she's looking to build up her war chest, that he should become, obviously, he should become a mentalist at the casino. And the split will be 60-40 in her favor. And Jughead counters with 50-50. And the person has to be willing to get their mind read. At Andrew's Construction, Carlos. Do we know Carlos?
No.
He's hesitant about doing this job till he hears no scabs and time and a half.
It's a union job.
Yeah.
No scabs.
Banks signed up too. Because he's insecure for some reason. He's signed up. About not contributing to this, having a good job.
Yeah, being a stay-at-home Fang isn't working for him.
Stay-at-home Fang's no good. Fangs has got to be out. You got to Fangs out. At the Coopers, Betty comes home, and Dagwood and Juniper are playing with a cat named Butterscotch. Is it? How old would you say Dagwood and Juniper are now?
I mean, they're getting up there. I mean,
yeah,
they're older than it feels they should
be. Growing
up
fast. They're growing up fast. Betty flashes back to killing her cat. What was it, her cat's name?
Carmel.
Carmel. And Butterscotch. Oh, shit. With a rock. I remember killing with a rock. Yep. And she sees a red aura around Dagwood. This is a tough. Whoa. Well, I'll give you all the details. You really have to follow this aura shit. But she's a red aura around Dagwood.
He's got the
not
bad
the sandwich.
That serial killer aura.
He likes
like
to
that.
Make big sandwiches. Which means he probably has the gene, is what we're thinking. So she takes the cat and makes an excuse about getting his shots. And they say, hurry back so he can catch some mice. That's what they do.
Yeah. They were going to cut its tail off.
At Pops. What? Were they going to cut its tail off?
Yeah.
Yep. At Pops, the crew starts tearing down, even down to the Pops bobblehead. They're tearing it all down. Strangely, the bubblegum dispenser smashes into the floor unprompted.
What a waste of bubblegum.
Oh. At the FBI, Betty tells Agent Drake, Jillian Drake, that she saw an aura around Dagwood and was afraid he would kill the cat Butterscotch, so she took him to a shelter.
I need your insight, Drake. Regarding some more fringe science stuff.
Of course. Always happy to help.
What would you say if I told you that I recently acquired the ability to see auras around people who are threats?
Auras are the energy fields that emanate from us. Some people are more sensitive and can see those vibrations.
Sounds like you detect hostile energy fields.
Last night I saw an aura around my nephew, Dagwood, but not around his twin sister, Juniper. So I was worried Dagwood was having evil impulses towards a newly acquired pet, now in a shelter.
Where they immediately put him down.
Yeah, where he's dead or...
Did anybody else... I mean, I know it's Riverdale, and we often look this stuff over, but, like... Immediately, Agent Drake is all in, believes every word Betty says. All this nonsense about, oh, I have superpowers and I can see auras and serial killers. And she's just immediately all in. Like,
I like to think that Betty searches these weirdos out. Like she she tells everybody a little bit until she finds somebody that latches on.
Wasn't she in, like, was she part of, like, the X-Files? Like, they...
Probably.
The idea like the FBI's unsolved mysteries or something. Is that where they found her?
I like it.
Impulses that he hasn't acted on yet, thank God, but it felt like a brewing threat.
Who else have you seen an aura around?
Killers. People who are about to cause harm.
She asks Betty what she normally sees that aura around, and she says, killers. But that she did not see an aura around the TBK.
But there are exceptions. I didn't see an aura around TBK, even though he was planning to attack Archie. It's like I have a blind spot for some people, one that I would like to figure out and remove.
So she assumes she has a blind spot for certain people. Maybe Juniper. We don't know. Drake suggests that Betty get the twins tested for the MAOA gene.
Well, the twins could be a sort of test case scenario.
For a while, I thought maybe they could have inherited the MAOA gene. It runs in my family. I have it. My mother has it. Maybe Dagwood inherited the gene, and that's why I could see his aura.
Why was that not done immediately?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, the Cooper they're in family. The family.
Yeah, right. The Cooper family needs tested for many different things.
Because he's a killer in the making?
Get the twins tested for the gene. Find out if one or both or neither has it.
She says, and I this is the best line of the whole thing. She says,
know a doctor who would do that?
Betty, do you know a doctor who would do that?
Don't tee us up like that, Riverdale.
Oh, I was just like, that's the stuff. And Betty just grins. And I was like, yes, yes. She knows what's up. So, where do you go to get your DNA tested? The morgue.
Exactly.
She comes in with the twins. Sticks the twins to the morgue.
Day now, trip to the morgue.
I love this. Because...
And the kids are just grab-assing at all the equipment.
Immediately! Immediately they just start all this sharp tools and shit. They're just over there just grabbing crap. There's no hesitation whatsoever. Nobody pays any attention to what they're doing.
It's like, we don't need to test these kids. I got this for you. At Thornhill, Heather and Cheryl are waving incense and studying wicker gods and who knows what. She says, I too have dabbled in the occult.
That was my fourth favorite line of the episode.
Archie locks up the innards of Pops into a truck. And then Percival shows up with Uncle Frank. Worst character ever. And
oh, yeah. He's terrible.
They offer the
mind control to make him worse. He was already bad. Now he's enthralled.
Yeah,
Percival, and he's even worse.
And they offer the crew better wages and bonuses. And Fangs is happy to join without the union dues because he and TT are drowning in bills.
Don't scab, Fangs. Come on, man.
Yeah. At the Babylonian, Veronica sings sexually. This is what I put.
I know this stream of life is never ending. It goes around and round and round again. You know the sun is rising while descending.
To introduce...
There's things you don't have to write down.
If I put it in here, I'm reading it.
You can save time. We all just assume.
That's just, no, you need to know.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat tonight.
She's introducing...
The Babylonium is proud to present the Seer of the South Side. Forsyth the Fantastic.
Forsyth the Fantastic. Jughead sees the number. What?
When she's singing, she's dressed exactly like Zatanna.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, oh my gosh, she should play Zatanna. I wonder if she can sing backwards.
I don't know. Jughead sees the number that this guy writes on a card. And Academy Award snub Charles Melton is not amused, is what I have here. Cheekbones didn't like this trick. At Pops the next day, they find that someone broke the lock on the truck and put all the booths and stuff back into Pops. Chop, chop, double time, bingo. Let's do it all over again. We'll get this stuff out of here. Tabitha goes and breaks a vase, I think, at Percival's little needful thing shop. Do we know the name of this place? I ask this every time. Does he have a special needful things name
it's
for that place?
Curiosity shop.
Okay. Weak. And she yells at him. He denies having anything to do with it. Which we're like, normally he'd just say, yeah, what are you going to do about it? Back at Pop's, the jukebox lights up and electrocutes whoever Sam is.
But not the other guy. They're both touching it, but only Sam gets electrocuted.
Well, you know.
That union insurance is good.
Yeah.
The jukebox does not want to go. At the FBI, Betty gets a phone call from Dr. Kirtle Jr. Says that Juniper has the gene, but not Dagwood. And she begins a yarn wall immediately. They concoct a theory that the MAOA gene releases an enzyme that will not let her see their aura. How do we test this theory? They decide to test maybe some janitor that I forgot about that apparently should have an aura. I don't know. Or Cheryl. She all saw auras on there. And she wants to get the kids away from the thunder because she's in deep with Percival and doesn't want them around. In Veronica's office, Reggie wants a cut on their little act, Forsythe the Fantastic. She is in awe of his lack of intelligence or reason. Well, he blackmails her for 20%. Fangs mentions to TT that he's making double time working for Percival. She mentions that, well, he's evil incarnate. And what are you, fucking stupid? He kidnapped baby Anthony. Probably. He says, yeah, Archie wore me. But he said I could use an emotional tether. So baby Anthony will be my tether. Whatever the hell. I don't even know. So at Thornhill, they're playing with tarot cards. And they pull the Queen of Wands.
Actually, that kind of tracks.
It's a new strength or ability. Cheryl has discovered some new ability. Okay, that tracks. The Lover's card, because she yearns for connection. And the Tower card, which promises disaster, carnage, and war. Well, welcome to Riverdale. I mean, come on. Suddenly, Jughead, I don't know why. Is this because he's getting to use his powers or something? He's reinvigorated on his comic book. When you use your powers, Jordan, whatever they are, do you get reinvigorated on your comic book?
Oh, I'm always invigorated.
Veronica asks to come over, and she pitches him on doing more than reading Cheekbone's mind. She said, how about we erase something? I have here something about her ordering a hit on the RAM.
Yeah, that's what he's using to blackmail for the 20%.
Okay. Just
she tried
that,
to have her dad killed.
That's all that she wants erased, I guess.
Right. She doesn't want Reggie to remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. If he can't remember that, he can't blackmail. Jughead doesn't know if he can even surgically mind wipe Reggie's brain, but he's gonna look into it. Tabitha discovers that the people that have died at Pops are haunting it. I immediately thought, Senior Archie.
Yeah.
Not the people who were shot at Pops, only fatalities.
Oh, they had to die.
There'd be too many people. Yeah, there'd be too many people to mention if it was just people who were shot
at Pops. Okay. I was scared for a second. They were getting a little too close to reality. Archie says this is the least of his worries right now. Okay. What else is he worried about? He's literally like trying to move this stuff out. There's dead people in there causing a problem. He's like, that's the least of my worries. Okay. At the Worm, the White Worm, Archie buys Uncle Frank a beer with his chime card. Oh, don't leave home without it.
That was quite the product placement there. I mean, he says with my chime card, and there's the the close up.
That's my second favorite line of this episode.
He says Senior Archie wouldn't put up with this shit, and they are blood, and they need to work it out. And he pulls out a picture of when they were kids. And there's two things that are important: Pop's Diner and Andrew's Construction.
So trying to get Frank a tether to get away from personal.
Get with it.
And who better than Senior Archie to tether emotionally? Right.
So it, obviously it'll work, because that is a very real thing that everyone's attached to. And so they wouldn't F this up, would they? At the FBI basement, they discovered that Cheryl and the other guy, the janitor, didn't have the gene. I just love the detail of the janitor. Like, as if any of us would remember that. I was like, what is this? They could have let that go. Why would you even include the janitor when you could just use Cheryl, your cousin? Like, and the janitor. We got to check the janitor. I don't know. Agent Drake says, maybe all this will give Betty a new way of seeing Oris. Also, she asks, how's it going living with Archie?
She's up in her business.
A little nosy, Agent Drake. At Thornhill, Tabitha needs help with her classic haunting. They assume that the ghosts have unfinished business. Here are their names. They cross the divide. Mona Mitchell and Gilda Snide. Join us here and do not hide. Marcus Lee and Jenny Bride. Gilda the waitress speaks for the dead and says that this is the final battleground and they can't move. They are to witness. They mentioned the train, and Gilda gets scared and says that the ghost train grants the conductor great power. Gilda, this is what, the train? They're trying to lay, is Percival trying to get the train to come through there?
Yes.
Is that, okay. Yeah. Okay. With great power comes the train. Gilda says you have to dismantle it only briefly. Otherwise, they'll dissipate. And no one will be there to witness the battle to defeat this eldritch evil. So we got to take it apart, put it back together real quick before the ghosts leave and Ray Parker Jr. can't. If Ray Parker Jr. sees these ghosts, it's all over. Oh my God. And very ironically, Tabitha says, this is all starting to make sense.
This is my first favorite line of the show.
I was so hoping you would say this.
Because Tabitha says, this is all starting to make sense. And then Cheryl replies, is it? Like with a slight edge to her tone. Like, this is all starting to make sense. She's like, is it? really? Is it?
Loved it. Oh my God. I love this show. At the FBI, Grandma Thunder shows up and tells Betty she has always been a bad person. And she hopes she's never a mother. And Betty sees that her aura.
She's glowing.
Is this like the worst incarnation of Alice? We've had like 10 of them. I feel like this is the worst she's been.
She barely deserves to be called Grandma Thunder anymore.
Right.
At the Andrews, Tabitha asks Archie if they can set up Pop's booths at the El Royale.
Why not?
Of course.
We've only got a couple of sets. We got to make use of what we got. So that's the best.
He says, Bingo and I are cool with
it. You want to move in?
uh, Uncle Frank. Okay, he says, I am not afraid of no ghost, basically. And Uncle Frank says, neither is he. Betty and Archie go to bed in their jammies up there in the, up in the top. Back, it's right over the bed. Isn't that the bed that a bomb underneath?
Yeah.
I'll soon we forget. Jughead narrates, which is, of course, the Jug Dub, that temporal erasure is possible. The subject has to be asleep or distracted. So while Reggie is counting his money, which he should know better, he's probably sitting at the table, he goes into his mind and rips the comic book page out that has this memory. This is all starting to make sense. And then Veronica takes the money back, and he's like, I'll tell about that thing. And she says, what thing? At the diner.
Oscar nominee, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. No, he was snubbed. He was snubbed. So we'll allow it, this performance. At the diner, Gilda and the other souls have already moved the furniture out, so they have less work to do, which was pretty neat. At Thornhill, Heather admits that she's not just a Wicca, which I was like, okay, let's get out of the weeds here.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not just a Wicca, I'm a witch. Like, yeah, okay, well, we thought, what, is this news? Like, I don't know.
Well,
she's like, I think Cheryl is too.
Yeah.
I'm like, see season two. Kapow, the pop culture podcast.
Not only that, but very obviously I'm like, okay, in the we have switched out the word witch for lesbian at this point. Like every time they say witch, I hear lesbian. Like it's so obvious. I think you're one too, Cheryl. No shit.
Do you? Okay. I don't know. Reggie tells Percival that he remembered that he forgot something. At Pops, Betty sees a red aura around Uncle Frank. Archie stops Frank from driving the truck away into Sweetwater River or burning it up or whatever.
Thank God.
He was going to do. So Uncle Frank pulls out some palladium. Of course. It's like, don't even try, Uncle Frank. I'm invulnerable again.
I'm dense again.
Yeah.
My density is back.
Yeah. They show Pops that they successfully moved the diner into the El Royale. And the ghosts made it too. TT proposes to Fangs to help the case.
Hey.
What's the occasion?
I wanted to apologize, Fangs. You're right. I haven't had enough faith in you. My whole life, I've been fiercely independent, thinking I could take on everything myself. But now I realized we need to be equal partners in all things. So that's why I was thinking maybe we should get married.
Tony. Where's all this coming from?
How romantic.
I'm not sure how that helps, but okay.
It's a stable family.
I guess.
Come on.
We're no longer in a gang? No? No?
I don't know. At the end, Betty tells Agent Drake that she saw the aura on someone with the MAOA gene, and she doesn't know who this person is a danger to. It was herself. She saw it in the mirror. Whoa. The damn. Oh.
Betty's got the glow. Show enough.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. That was an episode of The Dale. It's like it was totally worth throwing in a microwave, heating up, feasting.
Make a little room in the freezer for more.
Yeah.
We skipped my third favorite one.
Oh, shoot. Wow. Try to get them all.
When they got the pops moved in, new coat of paint. Benjamin Moore for the win.
I wrote that down too. Benjamin Moore for the win.
Two product placements. We had Chime cards and Benjamin Moore. So this show is still profitable for the CW. As profitable as a CW show can be, this one has to be it.
You could have told me that both of those were fake things, like the whatever. When they used to have the fake product placement, like I that could have been totally fake, both of them.
My daughter started rewatching season one this week, and there was some.
I saw you shared us a screenshot of Black Betty.
Oh man, Dark Betty!
I was listening along to the recaps podcast recaps as you should.
She should be. I have to get on her about that. Like, if you're gonna do this, we're gonna do this proper.
In my house,
and she just stops watching altogether.
Yeah,
yeah, she yeah. No, exactly. Whatever. It's do it the right way or you don't do it at all.
She was or watching
we'll take her to the shelter.
Oh. Give me that cat. She was watching some random episode in season one and there was some just blatant product placement and I was just like, man.
Yeah. Revlon or something.
Yeah,
that was the makeup. That was the makeup season where every episode had a close up of applying makeup.
But it did the same thing as the Chime card. Like it paused for like half a second and kind of zoomed in, and I was just like, "Okay, so we've been doing this the whole time."
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Good stuff.
Oh,
we haven't got a good sub and Dorito lunch in a long since the Ram left.
Yeah,
that's true.
No, that's true.
Miss the Ram. No more wrestling. Hopefully singles. Soon. No more mob. I mean, come on. It's the heart of the Dale. These are key ingredients.
Nice to-go stack of pancakes.
Yeah, get your box.
More from the Dale and KPP. Check us out wherever we are. We'd appreciate that. Listen, download, share, comment, like, subscribe, patron. Is that all the actions they could take?
The socials. Yes.
Yes. And keep watching Riverdale. We will never stop. As long as it's available to stream, new generations will discover it, and we will still be there talking about it. Until then, my name is Jordan Lowe.
Cliff Barnes.
I'm Seth. Bye forever.
Kapow, the Pop Cultured Podcast, is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Sounds, music, and clips played during the podcast are property of copyright holders. All original content is property of www.udownwithkpp.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a comment. Kapow, the Pop Cultured Podcast, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, and wherever podcasts can be found. You can connect with us through social media on Facebook, YouTube, at The Kapow Podcast on Twitter, or email the show, Kapow, the Pop Cultured Podcast, @gmail.com. If you really want to go the extra mile, join our Patreon at patreon.com/UDamnWithKPP for special content and access to Patreon-only benefits. We are grateful for anyone who chooses to contribute, but please know that most of our content will remain free. So please continue to like, comment, and share.